Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
It's City Praise coming out with Your Will Be Done. Brings us to 10 minutes after 4 o'clock. A very, very good afternoon to you and a warm welcome to Friday's edition of Spectrum. Yay! We've made it through yet another week. I must say, January seems to be flying by so quickly, but I'm not complaining. I am not complaining. Not that I want another holiday. No, you didn't get that from me. But I love it when the year is progressing and it's doing something. And so welcome back. Starting this afternoon on a very, very good note, especially for readers and people that want to equip themselves with information this afternoon, because we're going to be unpacking the Omega Moment. Now, you're wondering what that is. It's a book. That's a title to a book, by the way. And with me in studio this afternoon, I've got Sizwe Mabena. Sizwe, good afternoon and welcome home.
Hello, Luko.
Okay. Good to be here. I'm all good. Can't complain. God is good.
All the time?
And January is flying so nicely, like you're saying. We're cruising nicely, you know.
Definitely. I'm loving it.
It's been a good month. It's really been a good month. Yeah, God has been good. Yeah.
So good, I've hardly had people complain about it.
Actually, you're right. It's actually one of those Januaries where we're like, okay, what happened to the January effect, you know?
It's not a January.
Yeah. It's not a January. Yeah.
Oh man, it's absolutely beautiful. Now, before we get into the Omega Moment, mm-hmm. because I really just want to pick your brain with this book and get to understand where your mind was when you scripted it. And perhaps, you know, some people take years, some people take months. It's quite a thick book, I must say. I don't want to say people are lazy these days.
I hear that often. Like,
really?
Such a thick book.
Yes.
You know? And I'd be like, okay, you know, how many pages are people writing out there? And,
for me, it kind of speaks of the fact that you weren't in a hurry to publish. You were not in a hurry to publish. You knew what you wanted to communicate, and you didn't take as much time as one would actually think you did, but you took a lot of time to craft what you felt was needed by your reader. Let's get into you first. Let's talk about Sizwe. I asked him earlier if it's his first time, and he says, no, last time he was here was 16 years ago. 16. So I look at him, I'm like, whenever you make such statement for me, I'm always like, how old are you? Sizwe, tell us a bit about yourself. Who is Sizwe? I did do a bit of a stock up on you.
Okay.
And the only thing I saw, you, I don't know whether you're friends or you go to one of my Facebook friends' church. I think it's called Oracles or something.
Living Oracles.
Living Oracles. I visited there before.
You visited Living Oracles
before? I think it was like 3-4 years. No, 5 years ago, actually.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
God is there.
Yeah.
Yeah, God. That's why I
changed. The place God lives.
Yeah. The slogan is a place called there.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Love it. Now, tell us a bit more about yourself. Who are you? Where are you from? And throw in there where this love for writing stems from.
Okay. Sizwe Mabena is saved and is single, you know.
Saved and single.
Sizwe Mabena is saved and is single and he loves Jesus. Mm. You know, he loves Jesus. I come from Pretoria. I grew up in Pretoria. I think I arrived in Pretoria in the year 2000. Grew up here, basically. Yeah.
You're pretty much young.
I was pretty much young. I think five there. That's when I arrived here in Pretoria. Yeah, I was five. And basically, my parents, my father is from Limpopo, Tafelkop, and my mother is from Verina at Mpumalanga. And I've got Ndebele heritage in both ends.
Really?
I've got Ndebele heritage. My mother is a Mahlangu, and then my father is a Mabena. So, these are literally
makes sense, Mabena. Makes sense.
Yeah. And, go to church, love church. Sizwe is a, basically, I'm a creative. You know, I'm into all things creative. If I'm not writing, I'm working on a brand. I have a passion for brand development, assisting brands, working on their websites, apart from working on their websites, assisting in their brand visibility initiatives, and it's my passion.
Yeah.
So you'd find me as the
photographer. Yeah, I saw that as well.
There was one, yeah, you know, there was a season of my life I did that so intensely. I enjoyed it. I had to now assist others, train others and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and dispatch others. Then there's me. If I'm not doing that, I'm also doing videography. So basically this multimedia enthusiast, that's who I am. If I'm not there behind the scenes, I'm always behind the scenes. Uh-huh. If I'm not there, again, I'm just working on a website. If I'm not working on a website, I'm studying a tech.
Oh, so you're a tech-minded person.
Yeah, like basically that's me. And then if I'm not doing any of that, I'm literally reading because I'm always reading. I'm always reading. Like literally if there's one thing I'm always doing is I'm always reading. I tend to have a scenario, like I tend to have a mindset, not a scenario.
Okay.
I mean, that says there's a book title out there that can solve the problem that I'm going through right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I do focus reading and also bite reading, you know.
Okay.
A bite reading is that I chew a book for what I want now so that I can process what I'm going through or what I'm thinking now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And then I won't touch that thing until maybe I come back, maybe 4 months later or 8 months later. And then I come back and develop. Because whenever someone writes, the surrounding topics around what they are writing about, you'd be so surprised in how they are all connected.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand.
True.
So then I'd come back when something that relates to that thing speaks to it again. And then I've got my focus reads. My focus reads are the reads that I am... Literally, it's a book I want to think about whenever I approach my day. I want to tell
kind
someone
of
about.
It shapes the trajectory yes, of your life in that season.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
It's a book I'm allowing to speak to me now. And so that's how I read. I have my focus reads and my bite reads. And I totally, a bite read, it's that book I read for 1 week in a month. You understand?
Does that mean you don't get to finish the bite read in that moment?
No, it's not even a rush. The aim is not to rush, but to understand. You don't rush a book. You take time because behind each and every author is a story. It's a season. There's a way that there are certain things that they had to go through. Apart from going through stuff, there's also the discipline of gathering the resources that... validate, like in order for them to give you the points that they're giving you, they actually had to address a particular situation, and they had to validate why the resources that they bring, you know, as answers into your situation are valid, you know. And so you take your time, you know. The aim is to understand. The aim is to really...
I'm guessing you're not big on fictions or whatnot.
No, I'm a non-fiction person.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, I'm not big on fiction at all. I can do that when I'm chilling with my family.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can do movies with my family, movies with a friend, and I can definitely enjoy a fiction tale there.
You're more attracted to real life stories.
Yeah, I think they speak to me because I'm a person. You know, I'm a person and I mean, I do life with people and I really love people. Hey, I'm a people enthusiast as well. Got a lively personality. I'm vibrant.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. You know, so I love engaging people. So I love that. I love people, their stories. I love, you know, giving people an opportunity to point to me in whatever value that they believe that they should point to me. And yeah, man, it's just me and such books really speak to me. So, and I, you know, it's so nice now when someone is writing from, whether it's academic, whether it's religious, it's spiritual, whether it's a biography, whether it's whatever, you know that you are in the place of that person's shoes.
Yeah.
You understand? In some way, somehow, they are
in
it.
There's a sense of connection as well.
Yes, you understand? Yeah. And it's so nice. And you know, when the more you get in touch with that, you get to have your writing champions, like where, you know, like I look at my book and how I've written it and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
The way I've even structured it and how I've presented it. There are people that have shaped how their layouts, the way that they presented their material, the way that it has shaped me, because they are writing champions for me. And I'm like, yo, man, I need to read something like this from that guy again. How did he approach this kind of topic? It's a bit complex. And how did he make it, you know, chewable? And how did... So and you realize that you actually glued and admire a person who's at the other end of their own laptop. And they're doing life. And they're doing life just like me and you. They've got family. They've got friends. There are other things that they do apart from writing. And yeah, that's just...
We were about to discuss your book right now, The Omega Moment, but I was just reading something now, and it captivated my heart. We're going to have Sizwe unpack it himself. But this is what he has to say about his book. You were born for this moment, and this moment was born for you. The culmination of the times is at hand. Will you cross into destiny or circle the wilderness again? The Omega Moment is not the end. It's the divine signal of fulfillment, transition, and prophetic convergence. This book is a trumpet call to a generation standing at the edge of inheritance. God is shifting his church into a moment of maturity, governance, and prophetic precision. And he is looking for those who will not just hear his voice for themselves, but carry his heart for his purposes. And I'm going to stop right there. That's literally like when I read it, I'm like, I just want to read your book right now. Actually, I haven't even opened all of it, but I need to read this book in detail. And I think I'm going to challenge myself.
Yeah.
To have the book and go through it and come and unpack it over a number of weeks, actually.
Yeah.
But I think let's get to it. Where was your mind at? Why the Omega Moment of all titles, even that you could choose? What is it that was like, dude?
Yeah. Yo, when I wrote The Omega Moment, it was in a dark season of my life. Like, it was dark. I mean, it was literally chaos. You know, when the Bible says God spoke, you know, when you read the Bible in Genesis, that God spoke light, but the earth was without form and without chaos. And it was chaos, you know, and darkness covered the surface of the deep. I think I was just going through a lot. My family life was just a mess. Apart from my family life was just a mess. It was a year where I was experiencing a lot of disappointments, a lot of self-disappointments in my own walk with God. Things that I forfeited, you know, because of my own recklessness and how I handled things that God gave. And then... you know, apart from that, it was just also there was just one attack after the next, one attack after the next. So life was lifing. It was I had an opportunity to face life. And I remember I'm one person, I really spend time with God. Not to brag.
No.
But I really spend time with God. Like I am that one person where you know, I always miss my Bible. If I'm not missing my Bible, I'm missing
your moment with him.
My moment with him.
Mm.
Whether it's in a book that I'm meditating on right now. So I came at that place where I was just going through so much, and I found comfort in the presence of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And every attack I experienced then, it was a mess in every side. It was a mess in my church life. It was a mess in my relational life, social life, financial life, family life. Like, it was attack on every side. And life happens. Those seasons do come. So then when I read the book of Numbers, I was studying the book of Numbers then. And I would just study. And when I study, I take notes so that I reflect. And then, well, now I'm revealing how I did devotion. And then I take notes. After I take notes, the things that I noted are things that I present to God as prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how I digested what God was saying through me through the text.
Okay.
And then from there, in my spirit, God would create a dialogue with me out of the things that I've learned.
Mm-hmm.
And I would really then find clarity in what God is saying. Yeah? So basically that's how it happened. And so one note left out, I found the reading the book of Numbers then so, like, I was just reading people who are going through what I was going through.
You know, it was relatable.
Every part of their journey was so relatable that I could not even, like, they were so relatable that I saw even some of the things that were going through at church, and I'm like, this is what they went through. And then something that I was going through with a friend, I'm like, this is what they went through. And finances, this is what they went through. Some psychological challenges, and that's what I'd be finding my place in the narrative. So one of the things you'd see, it's because I gloomed into it even more when it spoke to me about the aspect of stagnation, you know, and walking around in circles, you know. To say life can be like that, you know, where you wake up 40 years later and you're like, but wait, what have I been doing with my life?
A lot of people can't do stock count.
Like, you know, for Israel, it happened to them as a nation. This was not one person saying, "Ish, you know, man, I feel stuck. I don't know what I'm doing with my life." One thing was common, that an entire nation experienced stagnation. It means I saw that, wait, we can have problems which are so relatable to the entire body of Christ rather than seeing our life from that individualistic mindset that my life, this is what I'm going through, I need to focus on myself, but there are some things where the Lord shows us that going in cycles and circles of stagnation is nothing new. I had an entire generation of people going through it.
I never thought of it that way.
Generation of people. And so it means that God was in it as Israel faced it. And I saw it and I was like, okay. So from then on, I started to then be interested in it and to see how when they forfeited the promise the first time, because of their unbelief, they forfeited the promise, entering it within 40 days, and then they had to enter it 40 years later. And how they went about it was around, you know, they didn't have the straightforward path that they had, you know. So then I could see that. So then the Lord would then show me principles of recovery to say, yeah, I can close the front door, but I will also open the back door. So because his promise and his will for your life doesn't change. What changes is the principles of execution, because life does not wait for you to obey God. So that's why things change. Life changes. Life continues, you know.
So whether you obey or not.
Yes. So it's just a matter of when will you decide to obey him. But however, in the day you obey, I tell you, the chances are that the execution method that God has prescribed this season is totally different from the one that he was executing that previous season. So I had to learn that. And it really then, you know, started to encourage me. And I'm like, oh, wow. And I was starting to tell people about it. And I'm like, you know, I'm experiencing something in my devotion. I think God is talking to me, you know. And they're like, wait, what? You know, I remember even having a meeting with my pastor, and I was so stunned. I was like, yeah, like the God of the Bible is now talking to me. And I feel like the Bible is now so relatable that our issues and our problems are not so abstract, or the Bible itself is not too abstract, but literally it's walking among us, like how you'd want God to walk among us. So I then started to see things like that. I started to see how sometimes the mindset that you have as a person has been always the hindrance that God is really has to overcome. But God strategically puts you in a position where every time, whenever the promise of God is before you, the mindset is the one that God wants you to face. So he does a deep work on your mind as you face the challenge. The challenge is there to actually also expose your mindset about God, your mindset about what he has put in you. And that's what you will see. I talk about it in this chapter of our war against strongholds, you understand? And you'll realize that these strongholds have been developed by how we see ourselves, life as we have experienced it, the people that we relate with, and we'll have common, you know, we have nice textbook definitions about it, like your imposter syndromes, your you know, all these things, understand? And I talk about that to say, no, man, God had an entire promise right before them.
Yep.
And what was the challenge to God, that what God wanted them to face really is their mindset, because God was with them. God was ready to take the land for them, you know, and they were the generation and it was their time. God, you know, Luke, one thing every time I read the Bible, I'm so convinced about is that God is so convinced about you.
Yep.
That even when he tests you, he tests you to reveal the deposits that he has placed in you. So he's not like the devil. You see, the devil tests you for your fall. He tests you for your fall. He tests you for your embarrassment, your shame.
See your weak points.
Yes, understand? So that he might have an accusation against God. But when God does it, I tell you, the tryings of God are there. The Bible says he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. You understand? Even Jesus, he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And through that, we saw the amount of humility that he extended to the Father as he was here. So yeah, that's how it came. And the more I read the book of Numbers, then it became, it's one chapter after the next, one chapter after the next. I could find myself in every chapter and it spoke to everything that I'm going through. And some things I was not going through them personally, I was going through them financially. And I'm like, wow, okay. How is it that this one chapter is talking about the financial life of an individual? How is that even possible? And how our finances sometimes are so deeply connected. There's this chapter I talk about in the aspect of total recovery, you know, and how they sent a thousand warriors to go and invade, to go and fight a land. And when they fought the land, they came, they bought the spoils of war. And literally everyone got something. You know, the warriors themselves, their families that didn't even go to the battlefield, number one. I mean, it's 1,000 men. And we have an entire nation. And 1,000 men were able to defeat a nation. You understand?
Sure.
We would think that all the spoils are going to go to these guys, and these guys will then decide what they are going to do about it. You understand? Who they're going to share with and all that. But no, to God, you know, God then would do something so amazing where he would do a total recovery for his whole people, where not only did they win that battle and recover the spoils of war, they actually then distributed the wealth. You find that the house of God had a great portion. You understand? And apart from the house of God having a great portion, the Levites had a great portion in that spoil. And then apart from that, it was the men of war as well. And then after that, they also took the people. You know, like there were people as well. Like the Bible will tell you that they took livestock. And also, apart from livestock, they also took virgins, you know. And they also took women that were not virgins. And Moses said, no, every woman that has been with a man, you kill them because they were part of your defeat. And then they then take these ones which were virgins. But we know that it speaks to the symbolic aspect that, you know, sometimes in warfare, people lose their purity, like their pure souls. You understand? So some people don't see that the reason why they are, maybe like they are being tempted by the things that they are tempted, it's actually a war against your purity. You understand?
Okay.
So it's things that are war, that are lost, but they are part of the spoils of war to say God also, we see when God looks at your recovery, he's not looking at just your finances. He's looking at your church life. He's not only looking at your church life, but he's also looking at your soul. Like he wants you he wants your soul to prosper in as much as you would prosper as well in your other areas of your life. Understand?
So that you may prosper as your soul prospers.
Scripture is
very clear on that.
Yeah, so that's the backdrop of it. It came and it really spoke to everything.
Yeah.
So I then saw a book that where I saw how God addresses my recovery in certain aspects, and in a very practical way, in a very spiritual warfare formatted way, and in a place where I could see how the word of God is able to address situations that I am facing currently, and I can share them with the next person. Yeah.
All right. Hold your thought right there, because we'll be right back.
Skipped a program? No problem. Download our podcasts anytime, any day. Visit radiopulpit.co.za.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Prayer, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
With the start of a new year, it's out with the old and in with the new. Radio Pulpit is now closer to you than ever before with our brand new improved app. Enjoy a fresh look, exciting new features, live listening, podcasts, and the latest news and events all in one place. Please take note that the old app will stop working soon, so please delete the old app from your device and download the new Radio Pulpit app today from the Google Play Store or Apple App Store. Make sure that you choose the new app with our new logo. Check out our website at radiopulpit.co.za for more information. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
Let Christ inspire your day. Radio Pulpit 657 AM, bringing the Word of God to you.
So I'm one of those people who generally will sit around and I'm told, update this. Like now my Instagram, I believe I've got quite an old one and I've been delaying it. And then one day I'm going to go in and my Instagram is going to refuse. And why am I saying this? Because if you are hearing Oputvusi there, please update your app, because one of these days you're going to try and tune into Radio Pulpit and you will not find us, because you decided not to upgrade your app. So please go ahead and do that. Welcome, welcome back. Sitting in studio this afternoon with Sizwe Mabena, and we are discussing his newly released book, The Omega Moment. Sizwe, welcome back.
Oh, awesome, awesome. It's good to come back to Radio Pulpit. I think last time I was here, one of the things that I used to do was teachings on the prophetic. Mm-hmm. I was here with a man called Apostle T. Freddy Nyama, great teacher of the word.
And you were much younger then.
Yeah, I was much younger. I mean, it was my high school days. I think I was in grade 11 or so.
Wow.
And I was a regular. Yeah, and it was actually nice. And basically, he would be here and then I'd be just next to him. And he'd be just also teaching me the ropes on how to handle this kind of platform, how to prepare for it. Teachings and all that. And
then why did you disappear altogether?
Because I was young.
I get it.
You know how the scripture says, those that have tasted the powers to come. So basically, probably it was just God saying, well, it's a season.
Yeah.
And I'm introducing you to this. Just know that opportunities will come.
Yep.
And I believe that whenever God opens up platforms and people in your life, not only people in your life, certain doors, and it's all for His will in your life, like
of
His
course.
Message.
Of course.
He's actually opening a door for the message, not you.
Mm.
Yeah, so I'm here because of the Omega Moment. The Omega Moment is the message.
Yeah.
You remove the Omega Moment, Caesar doesn't have to be here.
Mm.
And that's enough for God, you understand? So God opens a door for the message.
So in just a few words, what is exactly the Omega Moment? What was in your mind when you thought the Omega Moment?
The Omega Moment is about finishing strong.
Okay.
Realizing that actually, we are people right now at a very, like we're at the threshold of our destiny as a generation. God has changed the landscape of church leadership, you know, as we know it. You understand?
Yeah.
Also, the people that we have looked up to in the faith and all that, many of them are dead or are dying. And it's not a bad thing.
Okay.
Because to us, the death to the believer is, I have served my purpose in God. and therefore I'm going to be with the Lord.
Mm.
Yeah, like life here on earth.
That is
like,
life.
Yes.
It's finding your life.
Yes. In, yeah. Yes. So I talk about also death, that how God uses death to make way for graces. Mm. And we shouldn't look at death as like the world looks at it. It's not ushering us into despair. But really, death ushers us into glory, as in the presence of God.
Sure.
You know, so I talk about that because there's a place where they could not move to their next position until Miriam has to die, until Miriam died. But apart from Miriam dying, also Aaron will die. Mm-hmm. Apart from Aaron dying, later on, Moses will die. So in the same year, all the leaders that took them out of Egypt died.
Okay.
You understand? And then you had an entire generation which does not know Egypt emerge, and that generation's leader, which is Joseph, mm-hmm. I mean, no, Joshua.
Joshua.
And then all the other leaders of the new generation as well. So everyone is new to this thing, but however, they took the whole promises of God in 1 year. So
is it fair for me to assume that the core story behind and how you narrate all of this in the book is through the story of the Israelites?
Yes, literally, okay, as a nation.
I can hear because we keep going back to
this. Yeah, okay. Because the backdrop of the entire message is on the national life, because we are God's nation, actually.
Mm.
You understand? They were called the Church of God in the wilderness. Many of the things that they did and how they behaved and the places that they were going through, and I actually have, you'd see, I interpret all of them. They are landmarks. They were actually landmarks of destiny, landmarks of purpose, because those landmarks, their names, their places, they speak to where we currently are, the things that we are facing, the literally everything that they went through. There is no thing that in my generation, I looked at that entire generation, what they faced, and I went like, how is it that one people are facing everything that we are going through?
Mm.
So that's how I wrote it. And yeah, so it's a transition, you know. We're moving from the new leaders that God has put in our time and in our generation. Apart from that, God is causing us to rise up into new purposes, you know. And we're experiencing a new way of doing things, you know, literally a new way. You know, and you, if you cannot attest to this, look at what COVID did. It shook us a bit and made us adjust to new ways of doing things. Mm. You understand?
Mm.
So what we used before cannot really, like what took them out of Egypt is not what's going to get them into the promised land.
Of course.
You understand? Yes, they came out of Egypt by deliverance, but they entered the promised land by dominion. The principles of dominion are different from the principles of deliverance. In deliverance, you need a deliverer, and it can be Moses, one person. But in the promised land, we go there and we fight as a people group for what's ours.
Sure.
So I talk about that to say the principles of dominion are not the principles of deliverance. You understand? What took you out of there? So God is not going to take you into your promise with a deliverance mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? No, you understand?
The deliverance is done and dusted now.
You understand? You need to know how to wield your sword.
Yeah.
Meaning you need to know how to use the word of God for your situation.
Okay.
You understand? I talk about that. So, so it's managing the aspect of transition and how to work with God and partner with God for your destiny. I talk about the fact that some of us, the reason why we are, although we are moving, you understand, there are certain things that are unresolved in our hearts, like how many of us, you know, really, like we've faced disappointments. You understand? And these disappointments have like disappointments from family backgrounds and stuff like that. If it's not that family trauma and background, there are all these other ones are associated with the spaces that we find ourselves in.
Yep.
And we need the Lord, you'll see, he will literally cause this entire generation to allow them to face traumas that are associated with their identity, like how when they were discouraged at the wilderness of Edom. But Edom is their ancestor called Esau. Esau was the one who always had problems with their grandfather, with their ancestor Jacob. Mm-hmm. So now there's a tension there when they're in that atmosphere. So I'll talk about navigating the issue of the spirit of discouragement. And all these things are happening as we move. You know, this generation achieved so much. And they restored so much. They experienced alignment, total recovery, total restoration. They experienced purpose in one season of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that God had to change, number one, it was an entire generation. You understand? Okay. Apart from that, it was their leaders. And then God had to change the direction in which they were approaching his promises, you know. So I also talk about that, you know, they took even they took time, because that other one was a 40-year journey. Mm-hmm. I mean, a 40-day journey. You understand? Okay. That's what the previous generation experienced. They could not inherit it in 40 days. This one, the journey took close to a year, but they arrived. So I talk about how, you know, God, when you are really now starting to work with God, the promises of God, and you are in their direction, sometimes what God is telling you to do as you approach the promises of God looks as if you are getting away further and further from the promise.
Yeah.
But actually, no, you are just going around like how they did, but you will find yourself there. You understand? Mm-hmm. So I talk about that. So yeah, it's a book that addresses the transition that is going right now in the purposes of God for his church, for his people, that God is speaking, and we just need to discern our moment. You understand? Our moment, and everyone has his place, even the seniors that are there in God. Like how Moses could not enter the promised land, but he had to be there to see to appoint new leaders of the new generation. He also, you know, had to be there to see the heights of the land. You know, before he dies, God tells them to say, God tells him to say, no, I want you to climb up the mountain and I want you to see this land. You are not going to enter it because of your disobedience, but sure, I want you to see it. Do you understand? So I talk about that to say that ministry retirement for even our seniors has nothing to do with you sitting on your couch, you looking at TV, you enjoying soccer. Now you're a soccer analyst. No, you understand? You still need to ascend. You understand? And be before the presence of the Lord and clearly come back to a generation and tell us that, you know what, even if I might not taste what God in fullness, what God is doing in your generation.
Yeah.
But you guys, I have seen the thing. God is doing it and I affirm it. You understand? True. So we need them to affirm us right now. We don't need leaders that are going to contend with young people. No.
Because chances are they're not even going to make it to the other side.
Yeah, you understand? And we're looking at the whole young people thing. It was literally a 40 year. It's a totally different generation.
Yeah.
The generation that God used then was not there at Egypt.
That entered the promised land.
They don't know deliverance, these ones. They do not know the signs and the wonders, the plagues. Sure. Or they don't know that. You understand? So it's different. You understand? You might be talking and facing a generation on your pulpit that does not even know issues of street revivals, that, you know, preaching to Christ in trains, you know, mass crusades in stadiums. You understand? You might be talking to a different generation. You understand?
Yeah.
However, it's a generation that's gonna take it. So I'll talk about that the Omega moment is that embracing the moment that God has given in our time and discerning it and really adjusting to the purposes of God as God dictates right now. And we are really gonna experience it. I mean, I believe that in our time God is just going to restore so much dignity to the church, to the leaders themselves, to our church seniors. I wrote it really, you know, when it's one book where I do not even, I maintain the unity of the graces that God is dispatching in our season, and also the graces that God is allowing to just take their sit, to take their exit in our season. And I maintain the balance to say, everyone is needed, like literally, like everyone is needed. Just like how when Samson had to bring down, you know, in his great exit, the Bible says that he asked for a young man to give him guidance to the pillars of the temple of Dagon. So Samson is older than the young man, but he needed the young man because Samson could not see. You understand?
To usher him through.
Yes, understand. So there is that thing, you understand? And we need them to usher us in their experience. But we also need to own our grace as well. We need to own our configuration. So it's that. So the Omega moment is about that. It's got nothing to do even with our individualistic mindset where it's about me, my purpose, what I want to do, my ministry, it's got nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with how all of that, which is about you, fits into a larger whole. Mm. You know, because I wrote this book looking at the national life of Israel. Mm. You understand? How your purposes are connected to an entire national life. It's, yep. You understand? You have your gifts for me. You have your gifts for the person that is going through what they're going through at church. Just like how they themselves are doing that. So I talk about that. Even marketplace principles and how the Lord's will for our marketplace, you know, occupation. Because Canaan is actually called a marketplace. You understand?
Okay.
And that's where the nation was going. You understand? Mm. The nation, you see, the Church of God in its structures, in its worship, in its development of identity, its doctrine, and its church life, God develops the church in the wilderness, and then he establishes them, not in the wilderness, he establishes them in the marketplace.
Okay.
But however, they live there with the temple life, the church life, the tabernacle life, and they invade, you know, the marketplace, understand? They invade. So I talk about that, the need for marketplace personnel of today, you understand? That God is not looking at, God is not satisfied with even sometimes the life that is there in the marketplace, you understand? And he needs the church life, the way that you, the governance that you have been taught at church, the principles of life, like how to do life with your neighbor, how to approach business God's way, how to be an employee in God's way, and how to approach the economy, how to involve God in our economy, how to involve God in our prosperity. And God takes all that mindset and he launches them into the marketplace. So Canaan is actually called the marketplace. And it is, when you look at it geographically, it is where all the continents of the world meet. Because at there, and God wanted to establish Israel there. So I talk about this principle that the church, God desires that the church is supposed to be at the center of global affairs. You understand? When we sneeze as the church, the whole world is supposed to be shaken. You understand? Because that's the kind of men that God is raising. You understand? That's the kind of people that God is raising. People that will contend with God in the nations from low level to high level. You understand? Whatever class of society, whether you are in the middle class, you understand? Whether born upper class, you name it, God has a place. You understand? When you look at even the offerings in the tabernacle, there were offerings that could be given by the poor. There were offerings that could be given by middle class citizens. The poor could, the poor did not have an excuse to say, I cannot bring an offering to the Lord. You understand? No, God said, bring a pigeon.
Yeah.
You know, the others, it was bring a cow. The others, it was bring. So there are all these things. We are all involved. Our devotion in God, our mindset, our graces, our configuration are all needed so that we find our space in national affairs. So there's a church emerging in South Africa today. And that church is supposed to be at the center of the national affairs of the country. And I wrote the Omega Moment bearing that in mind to say, how is God causing us to transition in our mindset and how we do spiritual life so that we can position ourselves to be the center of what God is doing in our country?
Listen, you and I could go on and on and on for hours because this is really an interesting conversation, I must say. But I would not be doing justice to this conversation if you did not direct us to very important platforms where we can get this book. It could be from website or social media pages. Please, if you can give us all the handles because we're getting ready for the news.
Okay, no problem. I am Sizo Mabena. That's my name on all social media platforms. My social handle is at Caesar the Voice. So there's only one Caesar the Voice. Maybe there are all Caesar, there are many Caesar Mabenas out there. But there's only one Caesar the Voice.
Okay.
So that's the social handle, at Caesar the Voice. And then you can get the book. It's out there on all major book retailers and vendors. You can order it online with them and you can look for it. You'll find it. It's there. You can also order it directly on my website, which is caesarmabena.equipmedia.co.za. You can also order it on...
I would have been shocked if you didn't have a website. When's the Levanta my website and you don't have one?
No, I have one. caesarmabena.equipmedia.co.za. And you can order it as well at equipmedia.co.za. Yeah, so you'll find it. Just Google The Omega Moment. You will find it. It's available at Books and Barnes. It's available at Smashbook. It's available at Apple Books. It's available at Exclusive Books. It's, oh. Yeah, it's a book which is being sold right now at a global land. Global scale.
La la la.
Yeah, I'm a publicist as well by passion. Oh. Yeah, I'm a publicist by passion. So I enjoyed also positioning my book for that.
Cesar, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for sharing such insightful information with Radio Pulpit family. All the best, and may the Lord open room for you where you never imagined.
Thank you so much, Luco. Thank you so much to the listeners. Thank you so much for hosting me. You guys were just amazing. And yeah, it's good to be back here after 16 years. And yeah, you know, thank you.
More of these.
Find your faith on the airwaves. Radio Pulpit on 657 AM.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion through thick and thin. Download our mobile app or visit radiopulpit.co.za to listen to your favorite station 24 hours a day.
Words of truth and value. You'll find it on 657 AM. It's 657 AM, the sounds of your life. You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.